Maradona turns like a little eel and comes away from trouble. Little squat man comes inside Butcher, leaves him for dead. Outside Fennec leaves him for dead and puts the ball away.
Like Betamax, you do not make them like him anymore. What more can you say?
Suarez switching the play to Neymar. Neymar, great opportunity! And already, it's a goal for Barcelona! Messi was involved, Suarez was involved. Neymar applied a classy finish.
Welcome to another edition of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Joe will be with us on the phone this week. Couldn't make it into the studio, so we'll be talking to him over the phone. What a jam-packed show. It's been a long time since we've done our last one. We've both been extremely busy. It's tough to do these things in the summertime. You know, it's, the weather's nice. if you want to do anything, the last thing you want to do is sit at home and talk about football when you can be on a patio somewhere enjoying the weather and the scenery, if you get my drift. But anyways, so much to talk about. We have an FA Cup final coming up, Champions League final coming up. We have the whole corruption issue with FIFA that hit this week, which we are probably going to take a whole show to do in a couple of weeks. We're trying to line up two other guests so we can talk to them about this whole FIFA debacle. We're going to talk about TFC. Finally, we're going to do a recap of all the league standings, the final league standings since all the leagues are finished. We're going to talk about the Under-20 World Cup starting this week as well. Next week, Women's World Cup starts. So it's jam-packed. It's jam-packed if you're a football fan. There's lots of things going on in the next, I'd say, definitely next weekend, but I'd say the next 1 to 1.5 months, it's going to be jam-packed with soccer, with the Under-20 World Cup taking place in New Zealand and the Women's World Cup taking place here in Canada. We're also going to talk about Ancelotti and Real Madrid. So as usual, you can reach us at the website, www.footballweekly.com, which has just been revamped by myself. Go to the website, take a look. I've made a lot of changes. It actually looks like a website now. I was actually able to take time and do it properly. So definitely have a look at the new website. Very eye-catching, if you ask me. We also have a forum. You can put down your ideas, your comments, show topics. If you disagree with anything that we've said in previous shows, you can lay it down there. There's numerous categories there. There's a category for Copa America, which is coming up. There's places to talk about World Cups. There's, like I said earlier, there's two coming up, or one being played right now and another one coming up. So you can put down your points and ideas and things like that on the forum. You can also subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's numerous different ways you can subscribe to us via podcatchers as well. All that stuff is on the subscribe page of the new website. You can also subscribe to our podcast via email. There's a place where you can enter your email in, and every time there's a new episode uploaded to the website, it'll shoot out an email to whatever address you put in there telling you that there's a new episode, so go check it out. So also, you can play each episode if you don't want to download or subscribe. You can play each episode within each episode's own little section there. If you go to the website, you'll see exactly what we mean. So that being said, we got to get right into this because, like I said, jam-packed. We're not going to be able to get to everything today. Try to split it up between two shows. But we're definitely going to have one show specifically on this FIFA corruption business. I've been wanting to have this for for months and months and months. And I think it's about time we did it. So as usual, sit back. Relax, get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. So this week's show starts off with a firing. what we both think is one of the dumbest moves in football this year, you would say? One of them, anyway.
How do we attack this? Last year at this time, they win their 10th Champions League title, European. They were the toast of the world, Europe, all that stuff.
Handily won that game, too.
A year later, and he's in second place in the La Liga. They made it to the semifinals of Champions League. They went in without, I know they're a stacked team, but they went into it without Modric and Benzema and whatever. And then people say, why there's such a divide between if you're a Barcelona fan or a Real Madrid fan. This is a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it's professional sports. He still was not even a year removed from winning the European Championship.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to take this job? And then, hey, guys, we're going to bring in Rafa Benitez?
Wow. You're going backwards, right?
Right, because if we're going to talk about, okay, maybe we'll say, well, what do you mean? Rafa's a world-class coach. No doubt. Okay, fine. But
no, he's not.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say he is because he won the Champions League. I'll buy you that. I'll say that.
So he's a world class coach because he won Champions League once?
Well, he's not a top five. I mean, to me, that's who takes this job?
Benitez. That's who takes this job.
Yeah, the money says so and whatever. But like that's why Real Madrid, and I know the Real Madrid fans are going to snap, and who cares? I mean, that's why they're so hard to like, some of them.
Yeah, really.
Team. You know, like, this is, you know, who takes this job, right? Mind you, people were calling for Luis Enrique, said 5 minutes ago, either, right?
Well, it's hard to lose with a team like that. It's hard to win. It's hard to do anything but win with a team like that. So I think anybody,
right?
Not anybody, but I think anybody that's been around the game or, you know, like if you can insert any coach there, Mourinho, Klopp, Wenger, Luis Enrique, they're going to win games at Barcelona with that team. So.
Yeah, well, Lionel Messi makes a lot of coaches look good. But,
yeah.
You know, this is just a head shaker. The only good thing that I was looking forward to is, hey, maybe he'll go to AC Milan. I know they're courting him very highly. But, again, I think Pep Guardiola set the pathway for this. I'll take a year off.
Oh, is that
everybody court me?
Well, first off, wait, hold on. For people that don't know what we're talking about Carlo Ancelotti was fired this past week from Real Madrid. I'd say one of the most successful coaches that team's had in the short time he was there. He was very successful. I was reading some of the stats that are accredited to him coaching, and it was just like, whoa. They just let him go because he didn't win a trophy this year?
Yeah, and who's the team that beat him out? They weren't beaten out by, with all due respect, Villarreal, Valencia,
right.
You know, Sevilla, one of these great little nice stories. They lost out to Barcelona.
Right.
They lost out to Juventus in the Champions League semifinals.
Right. It's so hard to make it back to the finals. Never mind
win everything
again. So to get to the semifinals, this is pretty good accomplishment, I think.
With that company, right?
Right.
So this is why world football sometimes we shake our heads at that. You know, we get it. It's about winning. We get it. I totally get it. But Ancelotti era done already at Real Madrid. This is why Real Madrid just has a ton of trouble in terms of being likable. For a lot of us. I mean, hey, I know they got millions of fans. I get it. I hear you. I respect a lot of their players for their play, but this is just a really
silly
decision.
You think Ancelotti's going to take a year off like everyone else and see who comes in?
unless the money really comes chiming in. But I think, I guess a lot of these managers are burnt out, right, Reg?
Well,
it takes
tough.
A lot out of your life to manage in general. And then if you're managing, you know, some of these world powers and giants of soccer and football, it takes a lot out of you.
Right.
You know, it takes a lot out of you. So for them to take a year off, I mean, I'll retract. Yeah, I get it. I understand to take a year off to, or I think he is, either way, he's going to resurface in AC Milan. I think that
he's going to go back to AC, eh?
I think because he'll only go back if they get a big-time owner, give them some spending power. These guys, managers, aren't going to – they're not Tony Pulis here. They're not going to these clubs. Right? They're going to go to big clubs who can have the resources and the finances to make them competitive yesterday.
Like a Real Madrid.
Exactly. He's going to go somewhere else to get fired.
I don't know what's going to happen. Well, like we said a couple of weeks ago, if you're going to replace a manager – the guy coming in has to be head and shoulders above what you're giving up, and like we said in the beginning, I think they're going backwards. If they do hire Benitez,
yeah, absolutely, he is not Ancelotti. No way. I mean, Ancelotti, Mourinho, Guardiola. I know you love Guardiola, but you know, Sir Alex. You know, like these guys. I mean, there's an upper echelon of coaches,
right? And I don't think Benitez comes close. There's Champions League and there's Europa League, and Benitez is in the Europa League as far as if you want to compare.
Yeah, I mean, domestically, he's always. I mean, what was the last domestic title? Something, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, now he got Napoli into Europa, so I mean.
Yeah, but you know, for me, Reg, Napoli, they've done well. If you ask, you know, if you look at it from 5 years ago, right. I guess maybe because their meteoric rise a little bit,
right.
But you know. They did. They were supposed to be a legitimate challenger this year, right?
Right.
But supposed to be doing it are far two different things, right? So, well, we'll be talking here next year, and I probably, Rafa Benitez will be fired.
Well,
unless he wins the Champions League or La Liga title. Maybe they'll buy him another year.
That won't happen. That Real won't win that next year anyway, but.
Different topic.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eye open on that and who to see if Benitez actually does get the job. But, I mean, who's out there to take the job? It's just Klopp and Benitez is the one strongest being linked to it. So.
Yeah, for sure. Of the guys available, right?
Right, exactly. So we'll keep our eye open on that. Next, we're going to talk about the FA Cup. FA Cup final takes place tomorrow at 12:30 between Aston Villa
and
Arsenal.
Oh, yeah, Arsenal. Looking to defend their title.
Like we said, it's hard to go. It's hard to go back to two finals in a row, man. And these guys were able. Arsenal were able to do it. So,
well, here we are.
Kudos to them.
Arsene Wenger up and saying he's this, he's that, he's that, and he's done a fantastic job of saving his job again.
Right.
I think we talked about that in the Champions, but here he is again, looking for a title. Now, last year's final was one of the best ever.
Oh yeah, it was. Well. Yeah. The first 30 minutes of it, everyone was pulling their hair out, but yeah, Arsenal was able to, they were down 2-0, and they were able to come back and win it in extra time. But hopefully it doesn't get that exciting.
And for the person who wants an exciting game.
Right.
It might be because, you know, it's one game and it's a one-off, and Aston Villa has, really, this is it?
Pretty much.
Right? Who's got more to lose? It's obvious. Right. So, you know, this could be something that we say, hey, that was a great game. Of course, Arsenal fans, and Reggie included, just want to, they don't care. They just want to win, of course. But,
exactly.
You know, I don't know, do a prediction. I know your team's involved, so maybe your prediction can't happen here.
Why not?
Go for it.
3-0.
Wow, Reggie is confident in Arsenal.
3-0. Well, no, 3-1. Benteke scores. 3-1.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to call a 3-2 Arsenal win.
Oh, my God, again?
Yeah, I just think that Arsenal loves to make things exciting.
Well, if last week's game against West Brom is any indication, this game will be over in the first half. And I know it's bad to say that, and you can't say that, and this, that, and the third, but if they play anywhere near the way they played last week,
well,
this game's finished.
Let's make it clear. If Arsenal plays their best, this game is not close.
Well, yeah.
But Arsenal have a way of making things interesting for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, the allure, the FA Cup, Wembley Stadium, all that
right.
stuff. You know, the mystique of the FA Cup final. Hey, right. why not? One last go. Maybe it'll be exciting.
I think it'll be a good game, and hopefully he can get these guys up for the game. I know you shouldn't, coaches shouldn't have to do that with these professional players, but
yeah, unfortunately you're right. But I think it's a sad reality. It's a reality. I think it's a reality. It's man management. We always talk about this, and you know, getting guys. At this stage, you're really just getting them into a right mindset, right? And you know, we've talked about this before. Yeah, you shouldn't have to, but if you didn't have to, then you wouldn't have managers.
Exactly.
All right? If you didn't have to, you could just roll the ball out and say, okay, gentlemen, but, you know, so this is what I think. I think it'll be 3-2. I don't know why. I just think it's going to be 3-2. And saying that, we'll probably be here 3 days later going, hey, that was 5-love for Arsenal. But
I say 3-1. You know, so.
I just think Arsenal wins. I think it might be more exciting than we think because of the, again, I'm going
to. Well, they are. Aston Villa is. Arsene Wenger. Aston Villa is a Premier League team, so. And they've pretty much been looking forward to this for three or four weeks.
You mentioned the informed Benteke, too.
Right.
Why not?
It might not be as easy as I'm making it out to be, but just like I said, just from the performance from last week, where they tore this team apart, West Brom. Yeah. And I think as Aston Villa and West Brom are on the same level. They're par with each other. So,
don't you wish you saw more of this from Arsenal? I mean, that's a story for a different day. But
oh, man. If they played... anyways, I'm not even going to get into it. Like you said, that's for a different day. I'll probably have a whole show dedicated to Arsenal in the upcoming weeks. This week has been crazy for stories and... I mean, I have a list written down here of so much things we have to talk about, but we really need a whole show to talk about the main problem or the main topic that came up this week, which is the FIFA corruption.
And are we in agreement, Reg?
What?
We need a whole week to talk about that.
Yeah, we're gonna do a show dedicated to that.
We just want to make sure everybody knows that we got it, we understand it.
Yeah. I wanted
because to. I think we've all had to collect our breath, and I've had to clean my knuckles from punching stuff.
Right.
But maybe have a throw lozenge to say how many times I say, "Yeah, I told you so."
Yeah, it's crazy
about this, and this guy is an absolute joker, and unbelievable.
Every day something else comes out, and it's just like. It would be we wouldn't be doing the topic any type of justice if we just went in right now. Let's take like a couple of weeks and get everything and then just have a show on that.
Because I'm going to be Mr. Kind of like when you're supposed to send an email, you kind of like read the email first.
Yeah.
Before you send it out, like an angry email.
Yeah.
So I'm going to retract from that. The only thing I would say this, and then Reg, we can move on. You can move on, whatever.
Yeah.
Is hey, someone got caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Right.
Hey, your cookie, the hand, is stuck in the cookie jar. You go to the person you're not supposed to take the cookies from and say, hey, buddy, can you help me get my hand out of your cookie jar? He helps you out, and then he says, hey, bud, you took my cookies. And then you say, no, that wasn't me. And that's FIFA and Step Ladder.
That's good. I like that.
So, anyhow.
I like that. So we'll in like a couple of shows from now, when we have all the information, all the names, who's involved... We'll sit down and we'll probably have a couple of other guests come on and we'll talk about this thing through for the whole hour. But like we said, we don't
deserve more time. Yeah.
Yeah. Every day something else comes out and it's just we can be doing this like you said for weeks.
Who weeks. Knows? By the time we do this, Sepp will have a FIFA on Mars. We don't know.
World Cup on Mars.
Oh.
Winter World Cup on Mars.
And why not? Because Sepp said so.
Because Sepp said so. That should be a t-shirt, because Sepp said so. all the leagues have come to a close, so I just wanted to run down winners and losers, relegated teams and teams that are in Europa and going to Champions League and league winners and any surprises and things like that. Then we'll get into the last half of the show. We'll dedicate it to the Toronto FC. We've been preaching that. Telling you we're going to talk about TFC for the last, three or four shows now.
We're finally getting there.
We're going to give them the full half hour, last half of the show to talk about TFC. I can't wait.
Yeah.
But we're going to start in Italy.
Surprise.
We have Juventus on top. I don't have the point totals. Just Juventus on top. Roma second. Lazio third. They qualify. They have to play a qualifier to get into Champions League.
Lazio and Napoli play this weekend, Reg.
What was that?
And the winner will qualify. Will take the third spot. That's the only thing that left to be decided.
Oh, yeah, really? Is that right?
Yeah, so huge match for Rafinha.
Oh, so Napoli might be in the Champions League then.
Yeah. So they have to win. So it's Lazio. So Lazio, just to give our fans a little bit of a breakdown. So Roma in the capital city derby last week beat out Lazio 2-1, so which meant that Napoli has a chance in the last, again, Italy always finishes later, last week of the season, which is they play either Saturday or Sunday of this week, and the winner of that match will get the third spot in the Champions League.
Oh, really? So in Italy, there's three automatic spots.
I believe it's only two.
It's two? But when they say qualify, is it qualify? You have to play a qualifier to get into the Champions League. So they're going to have to play Man United or something like that.
Their fourth automatic spot taken away, correct?
Oh, yeah. Is that for the corruption? Is that what happened?
No, it's based on, I think it's based, Reg, and our fans, I apologize for this, but I think it's because of, it's, you know, based on the performances of the league. And I think because they had a little bit of dip in performance, they can actually take away the fourth spot.
Well, leave it to UEFA.
We'll have to check that out. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, for sure. I can't remember. I remember they used to have four, but I'm not sure why it went down to three.
Automatic spots right into the competition.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it went down to three, and then one of those spots is a qualifier.
It was because of the performances in Europe and so on the overall, like Europa and so on.
Right. Okay. All right. Either one of Lazio or Napoli are going to be in Europa, and as well as Fiorentina.
Yes.
Relegated Parma. I can never pronounce this team's name. Calgary.
Yeah.
That's my Italian.
It's a silent G.
Okay. And Cesena.
Cesena.
It's always C is ch
in Italian.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, surprise. Hey, Reggie. Good job, Reggie.
Thank you. Moving on to England.
Yes.
We have Chelsea finishing first. That thing was sewn up about 3 weeks to go in the to go in the season. Man City, the Arsenal, Manchester United has to play a qualifier to get into the Champions League. Europa, Tottenham Hotspur, relegated Burnley, Hull, and QPR.
QPR. Really? QPR? Like, really?
No, they were relegated with like five games left.
Like, seriously? I'm done with them. Like, maybe they just need to, like, hey guys, take a break.
They got a big owner too, right? And it's just
they got money, Reg. I know they do. Stupid that they, and then they fought back. They get back up. They win promotion last year.
Yeah. Right back down.
Nah, it's just nonsense.
Right back down. But Man United has an opportunity to get back into the Champions League.
Oh, Man United.
So but they have a lot of work to do as far as recruiting new players. Falcao will be gone. Di Maria might be gone. And they have a lot of work to bring in the quality that they need to sustain a challenge in the Champions League. But we'll see what they do. Moving on to Spain. Barcelona first, Real Madrid second, Atletico Madrid third. It's been like that for how many years now? The last three seasons, it's been the same?
Yeah, surprise.
Valencia has to qualify for Champions League. Sevilla, Villarreal are in Europa. Sevilla just won the Europa League final. Does the Europa League final champion get into the Champions League?
Wow, I feel bad today. We should know this stuff, Reg.
I think they do, you know. I think they qualify for Champions League if you win Europa.
So we have a winner there, right? We just had a winner. You just announced that?
Yeah. Sevilla beat Dnipro.
Good game.
That was a fantastic game.
Yo, Dnipro, like, yo, man, you know what? Good on them.
It was a fantastic game.
You know, it's one thing that we get from the Europa League finals. We usually get a good game.
It was wide open. There was chances. I think it was 2-1 or 2-2 at half, and it was a fantastic game.
Talk about coaches who should be getting a lot of credit. Emre or Unai Emery, like, from Sevilla?
Sevilla, yeah.
This guy is fantastic.
So let him take over Real.
What if I told you you're going to lose Ivan Rakitic?
Yeah.
And two other bang-up starters.
Right.
And you're going to get back to the Europa League final and win.
And win it for the second year in a row.
Hey, guys, I mean, talk about some of these coaches. I don't know, these managers. That's what he's a fan. And again, AC Milan, not to change, but AC Milan was heavily courting him as well.
Oh, wouldn't he be a good match at Real?
Great point. I think, you know, back to that Real thing. It's funny, they look for a certain type of manager, don't they?
Big name?
Yeah, they big name, and I think they do like Spanish-speaking, although Ancelotti did learn Spanish, but that's their preferred one. I shouldn't say that's what we know they hire different guys, but I think that's their preferred one.
Lots of politics, eh? Lots of politics.
All you got to do is finish second. Oh, wait a minute, that's not good enough.
Yeah, really.
Listen, if you finish fourth at Real Madrid, I think you got to, like, leave the country.
Yeah. I was making a joke with somebody. If Wenger was a coach of Real Madrid, not winning for 10 years, I don't know what the hell would happen to him. I think they'd hang him in the middle of the city. But anyways, and to end off La Liga, earlier on in the podcast, I spoke about a team named Eibar. They were promoted last season. And I compared their payroll to, I believe it was Barcelona's payroll, and it wasn't even close. Like, I remember one of the points made in one of the articles I read about this team was the Luis Suarez transfer fee would have run that team, Eibar, for 5 years. And that's paying players, coaches, the facilities, water, kit, cutting the grass, electricity. Just the fee alone would have ran that team for 5 years. And it's unfortunate, but I got some bad news. They're being relegated back to, second division La Liga. So they put up a good fight. I've been watching them the whole season since the time I spoke about them on the podcast. I've been watching them and seeing their position. I think they were up to seventh at one point, and I guess it all fell apart. So they've been relegated, and it's too bad. It's too bad. If you haven't heard that episode, I think it's, I don't remember what episode it is, but it's written in the description and on the website, so you can go back there and have a listen to that. But some good players have come out of there. I think Xavi Alonso started out there, David Silva started out there, so, you know, it's
pedigree there.
Yeah,
history.
There's pedigree, there's history for sure, but just a sad thing to see. But anyways, moving on to France again.
Surprise.
No kidding. PSG finishes first. Lyon,
I mean,
second.
They weren't end-to-end winners or start line, finish line. But, you know, I mean, come on. It's PSG.
Yeah, the quality has to come out.
Are we really surprised by this?
The quality has to come out in the end, right? So
yeah, for sure. So. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I mean, listen, that league is becoming a little bit more legitimate, let's just say the least. But, I mean,
lots of good players in the French league. Lots of good players.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the French league, it never used to get the following, and still might not, but there was a lot of players that came from there that it was almost like, you know, I equate it almost to the Dutch league sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Where maybe it's not top to bottom, but the players, there's a lot of quality players that come out of there.
Right. Lots of players.
You know, sometimes it's not always the worst thing for the national federations to have your players play. Imagine that.
Well, Joe.
English FA.
Joe, what are you talking about, man?
Oh, jeez. Anyway.
So Monaco has to qualify for Champions League. Marseille's in the Europa League, and that's that. Germany.
Usual suspects.
Huh? Yeah, Germany, of course.
Speaking of usual suspects, we move over to Germany.
You want to say it? Surprise, surprise.
I think that team coached by Reggie's favorite coach.
Yeah, right. Despite their coach, Bayern Munich finishes in first place. Wolfsburg second. Mönchengladbach third. Bayern Leverkusen has to qualify for Champions League.
I guess two things here stand out for me. Hell of a job by Wolfsburg.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, fantastic by Wolfsburg. And shame on Borussia Dortmund, who were in a relegation battle for most of the year.
Well, I have a note here saying that they finished seventh, so they battled their way up.
They did.
They battled their way up to seventh.
You said it for PSG. Quality does eventually
exactly
shine through.
They were actually a couple of points away from qualifying for Europa.
Yeah, they actually made a huge comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe got comfortable and said,
I mean, they pretty much had nothing to play for. They might as well just, you know, put it all in and let's finish. Let's see if we can even get into Europa League. And they were. I think Schalke and Augsburg are going into the Europa League this year. And Dortmund finished just below Schalke. So I say good on them. You say shame on them, but I mean,
I guess it's the way you look at it, but
yeah,
team should have been.
Well, we know, but you're selling. You sold Lewandowski.
They're selling more now, aren't they?
Well, I think Hummel said he's not going anywhere, but I don't believe that.
What's his name?
Gundogan.
Gundogan.
Yeah, he's. Yeah. They said either Bayern or
Mkhitaryan was gone too, isn't he?
I haven't heard if he's leaving, but I know.
If anybody saw the goodbye tribute to Jurgen Klopp, the Borussia Dortmund fans are fantastic. We know that.
Yeah.
With their support and what they done, they had a mural. You know, like a big banner that was saying goodbye to him and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Danke.
Mm-hmm.
Club. It was fantastic. Like their support is great, isn't it?
Oh,
one of the best grounds in all of football.
I might have to go back and watch that. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And again, you know, just another notch in the belt of the Bundesliga. They're just a real, you know, good.
Well, that league's run properly.
Well, from the German Federation, so. I've said this on millions of occasions and different topics. What the Federation did. And not only for their league, but for their national federation. Well, that's why they won the World Cup.
Well, exactly.
And the league's in good shape, and you know the U teams, and you know Germany has just been fantastic. I mean, to use an old but good stereotype, it's a good one, right? The efficiency to which they've, you know, managed that league and their federation is a model to absolutely any, federation in the world. If you ask me.
Right. I love the way they run it. Every team has to have an academy. I mean it's just...
kind of like the way they do it in Italy. Oh, wait a sec. Kind of like they do it in England.
Maybe not so much, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the recap of the major leagues that we take care of. MLS is still in season. I think we're like 7 games into the MLS right now, or maybe even more than that.
Yeah, about that. 70 games.
So that's our recap for all the leagues. And now we're going to move on to our much-anticipated TFC talk. So we're going to begin this segment of the podcast talking about TFC. And TFC had a strange beginning to their season due to the renovations taking place at BMO Field. Their first 7 games were going to be on the road. So that's about 2 months' worth of games on the road. And it's tough to win on the road. They played, I believe, 7 games on the road to start the season.
Yeah, big road trip.
Big road trip. 0-3 in March.
Yeah.
They won. They played 2 games in April, I believe.
It started brightly with winning the game at Vancouver.
Right.
Right. Big win on the road.
But if you watch that game, I watched that game, first game of the season.
A very favorable result.
Oh, they should have been down 3-0 in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, well, the same old thing. It looked almost like we're in a men's league game with that line that they were playing.
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous.
Very high, disorganized.
The guy missed the net inside the 6, open net inside the 6-yard box. He missed.
Yeah.
They should have. TFC should have been down 3-0 in the first 10 minutes of the game.
I think the same thing could be said here. Is that it's the same old thing. They improved their attacking play.
Mm-hmm.
Their lack of attention to detail at the back is just scary.
What?
I mean, a guy who had a pretty good, decent game and a half in Perkis in the last, on the middle stretch of the games was just shockingly bad.
Right.
I think it's almost these guys take advantage of, I think they're in a league that doesn't need to be, like, they don't rate it. I think they think they're us. Like, they're not rating it either.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, it was scary. You know, other games,
but,
again, like, just giveaways that are just inexcusable. Giovinco is the worth the price of admission for me.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been to a game this year, and I'll go. Yeah. I told people on this podcast that even if you gave me free tickets, I wouldn't go.
And I'm trying to give Reggie free tickets, people.
And I won't
he's
take
them. He's not going. He's not lying. I'm trying to give him free tickets.
He tried to give me tickets. He tried to give me tickets last week for free. Just take them. Nope.
I'm trying this week, dude.
No, thank you. Tomorrow they played tomorrow here in Toronto. It's gonna pour. I'm not going. I'm not sitting in the rain to watch that nonsense. But
Reggie, if it was gonna pour and Arsenal was playing, were you going?
Yeah. I have an umbrella.
Folks, what we're trying to say is it's hard to support this group. We're trying, but you know
they're doing all the right things. They're bringing in players, like you said. They brought in Giovinco, who's worth the price of admission. Every time he gets the ball, it's like, oh, something's gonna happen. You know?
The problem is he doesn't get it enough.
He doesn't get it.
The problem is he, I look at his facial expressions. Listen, Michael Bradley is quality too. Can we not say that?
Sure.
And
is.
Josie Altidore too.
Sure. So is.
Let's say the newest commodity for us here is Giovinco.
Right.
And he has been spectacular.
Has been.
He really. Let's put this in perspective. Couldn't get a game where he was at.
Right.
And he's quickly, easily, one of the best players in the league. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things where it's. You know, we're happy that, you know, the quality of the league is getting better, but we still have ways to go. Not a naysayer, but just to appreciate what he's been doing and how he's impacted games. It's really nice to see. But again, like, he's not getting the ball in certain areas. And for me, of course, quality of the player and the players around him are important. But here's where a guy like Greg Vanney has to figure this out.
Well, I'm the first guy to bang on the coaches. First guy, but when you come from a team where you're practicing and you look to your left and it's Pirlo and you look to your right and it's Paul Pogba, you look behind Vidal. You and Vidal's there, you know what I mean? And you're practicing with these guys every day and you come and now you're practicing with Ashton Morgan and Jeremy Hall and it's kind of hard, man.
I think we'll go back to the 7 million reasons
Yeah, probably. You think that's the reason why he came here?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe making one, two there. And here. You know, for me, it's the same old TFC. I'm glad we're excited about them. I'm excited a little bit, but we got to be able to be more efficient at the back, right? I mean, it's just, I watch them and it's like, you know, when are they going to give up that goal to break our hearts, you know?
Well, what do you do, though? You have to bring in, what are you going to do? You don't have... I think we have good defenders. I saw Greg Vanney do something, and I scratched my head for about 10 minutes. And I'm not banging on Vanney. It's just a thing I saw in one of the games. He had Nick Haglund, and the left back. What's his name?
Morgan?
No, the other side. Not
Morrow.
Morrow.
Yeah.
He had Morrow. He had both those guys on one side, like center back and left back or whatever. But he had Morrow playing center back and Haglund playing on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
The one thing that really I saw that I questioned is they were in the Amway Canadian Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 3-1. At 3-1, they're through.
Right. Okay. Oh, this is the second one.
He's trying to hold the game. There was 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
He brings in Haglund. At this point, an away goal from Montreal knocks us out.
Right.
Knocks them out.
Right.
So he takes off Altidore, playing target. You right. think, okay, it's 5 minutes left.
Never should have done that, by the way. But anyways.
Yeah. If he's not going to score, which, by the way, it's essentially like you're tied, right, because of the away goals.
Right.
But he takes him off and puts Haglund on, goes with the extra defender.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't hold the ball in front.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, I know you want to defend the lead, but can Josie Altidore go in the box and defend – you know, set pieces, of course.
Of course
big
he
man
can.
Should be able to do it. He's a good athlete.
Can he hold it up top at the other team's corner flag?
And,
of course.
And if you nip another one, which you need to the other goal,
right.
then you're cruising and you're through.
Mm-hmm.
That was my only Greg Vanney thing I really shook my head at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not going to knock Greg Vanney. I mean, I know Reggie has his own views, and maybe that's where we differ. But I do think he's been working really well, and that's a personal bias. I like what he's doing. But that decision was like a little, you know, wishy-washy. But for me, not wishy-washy. He made a clear commitment. He's going to take off this target striker. I didn't really understand that. I mean, listen, they're not knocking the ball like Bayern Munich or Barcelona.
Right.
Right? 5 minutes left, it was route one stuff.
Just punt it up the field.
Yeah.
Let this guy chase it. And he'll waste, if he gets his feet on the ball, he'll waste at least 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And I really don't understand. What really shocked me was the ball got crossed in the 6-yard box at this level.
Mm-hmm. Where's the goalie?
How does Aduro just come and sneak in and pop that in?
Yeah. So,
you know, that's what I'm talking about, the same old TFC. It's a mindset, I guess, too, right? A mindset of, hey, nothing's going to happen here. Nothing's going to get past here. because for it to happen this long.
But I mean, Joe, it's different players every year, and it's the same.
And this is why I'm talking about a mindset thing. I agree with you there, but I think maybe the mindset thing is that's where it's coming from. Is I think this is an organization from top to bottom that is so nervous and so anxious. They must make the playoffs. They must do something. But sometimes they're almost defeating themselves. Maybe. I don't know.
But let me ask you this, Joe. And I've been thinking about this for a while with this team, TFC. Haven't made the playoffs. Ever.
Ever.
And I'll say that again. Haven't made the playoffs ever.
Ever.
Teams come in.
Hey, do you remember that playoff game? No, because we didn't have
exactly. One. Teams come in 3 years or in the playoffs. Okay? Whatever. Yeah. Well, that's fine. It's not fine, but it's water under the bridge. New year, new season. It's the same old story. And we've said this. We've just said this. It's the same old story. What is it, though? Because the coaches change and the players change.
Right.
And it's always the same story. So what is it? What could it be? Now, if you have a coach that's coaching a team and constantly losing, then you say, okay, it's the coach.
Yeah.
If you have same players come in and different coaches come in, then you can say, okay, it's the players. But when there's a constant revolving door with the players and the coaches, and we still don't make the playoffs, and we still lose these stupid games in the last minute of every game, minute, lose. We always get scored on in the last minute. We get scored on in injury time to tie or to lose games. What is it? What could it be? Is it the curse of BMO?
I think it really is that. Not curse. I think it might be. No. I think it is what I was saying before. I think it's a mentality and a
but it's different people. It's different people, Joe. It's different coaches. It's different players.
Yeah, I really believe, Reggie, that maybe I'm way off, but I just think when coaches come in, they're always so focused on improving the attack,
mm-hmm.
right, and making sure that we're working on our systems attacking way and so like that.
Right.
But I think they
neglect the defensive end.
I really believe it, and I don't think it's. And I think it's. You're right. If it's different players, then maybe it is something that's cultural. I don't mean cultural meaning a background of ethnic origin.
Yeah.
I think it's a culture of, you know, what is the establishment here? Like, if you're, you know, a player on the, you know, I'll use a football one, the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, what are they synonymous with?
Defense.
Great defenses.
Right.
And even though the names change,
the defense,
you're in for a bloodbath against these teams.
Right.
And maybe that's the opposite with TFC, is you know that, hey, you know what, they're going to fall asleep. We're going to nip one in the end. Because of a lack of, you know, like about managing the game and not really having a commitment to want to do that. Whereas we think we might be able to get out of it by, you know, this play. Yeah, to me, that has to be the case because, like you said, there's the turnover is so much that how can it not be that? You know, I mean, it's whether you're coaching a youth team or a professional team. The mentality of a team, absolutely, for me, impacts, you know, those things. But. You know, it's inexcusable, is what we're saying with TFC. This is inexcusable. Like this, at some point, like this has to be a year where if it's not a playoffs, what do you do if you don't make the playoffs here? What do you do? Like
with this squad, you don't make the playoffs after you brought in Altidore and Javinko, and you're not making the playoffs. I have no idea what comes next.
They have to make the playoffs. They have to make the playoffs.
I know a coach firing is going to happen, but I don't know what happens next as far as making the playoffs. And I mean, you just expanded the stadium, so well, we all know why they did that, so they can bring the Argos in, right? But that's a different topic for a different day. But this team, it's so frustrating, Joe, and that's why I don't go. I used to go to every game. I don't go anymore, man. I don't go anymore. And like we said, we're joking, guys. He's not joking. He's trying to give me his tickets, and I won't take them.
Guys, if anybody wants Reggie's tickets.
I won't take them. I'm not going to get down there to pay all the money for the beer and the food. And it's $100 a day to go watch that. No thanks.
Yeah, it's a Toronto day, that's for sure. And that's what I mean. It's not always a good thing, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Those who aren't here.
So,
yeah, you know, Reg, I get it. And like I said, like, you know, we're past the point of just it's nice to go down there. Like,
yeah.
We're real football fans, I like to say.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put us in it. We want to see quality. We want to see our team have a chance to win and our team doing the right things. I get it. It's a nice little beer garden. I get it. It's a nice little this. I get what you're doing.
Right.
We want to win. We want to win. We want to win, right? Like, we get it. We get it, right? It's an MLSE thing. We got it. We understand. It's going to look nice. We understand it.
Right.
You got your brand. You're taking care of your brand. Great. Now let's make it a winning brand.
Exactly. Exactly. And now I'm at the point where it's like, I'm not going unless you're winning. I was never that type of a fan.
No, show me that you're giving you giving us a chance.
Exactly,
right? That's what I think. You know?
If you're not winning, if this team's not winning, I'm not going. Being a Leaf fan,
and
you know.
I think this year these guys got to not worry about, oh, it's got to look this way. You must get points whenever you can.
Exactly.
This is the top level. You've not made the playoffs when never.
Right.
So you need to make this right. So, you know. Listen, please, TFC, start doing something so Reggie can take my free tickets. Are we good on that one, Reggie? Can we leave it at that? That's what I think.
We'll leave it at that. They currently sit fifth in the league. They're
in a playoff spot.
They're in a playoff spot while they're tied with Orlando. You see, Orlando just came in this
expansion team.
Expansion team.
Kaká and young Canadian from Brampton, Ontario, right, out of Sigma Academy and University of Connecticut Huskies, Kyle Lahren.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
right, Canadian men's national team player.
But
give Kyle Lahren a lot of love. So good for Kyle.
Exactly, exactly.
And the guys at Sigma do a good job too. So give a shout out to Bobby and his brother. They do a great job. So
yeah. So currently they're in fifth. So hopefully they can keep this up. But again, tied with an expansion team, first year team,
tied
with them.
Back to your point, Reg. It shouldn't take this long because of what you can do in the MLS. You can bring in a Kaká, a number one overall MLS draft pick. So don't tell me this is a work in progress. Your work begins now, and you better get your ass in the playoffs.
That's it. That's it. Show me. Show me something, TFC. Show me something. Make it hard for me to get tickets. It's not hard for me to get tickets.
It's not hard. I could just give it to you. Just doesn't want them.
Just doesn't want them. Just don't want
to give them to him. Anyway.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the Champions League. Final segment, we're going to talk about the upcoming Champions League final, which takes place this Saturday, 2:30, June 6th, in Berlin. Juventus from Italy takes on Barcelona from Spain. Personally, I think Joe actually had to leave us. He had to take care of something, so I'm just going to be Reggie doing the last segment with you guys. Like I was saying, personally, I think this is going to be a beaten that Barcelona is going to put on Juve. And when I do a prediction, I'm saying 3-0, and that's me being generous. Everybody hopes that it's a good game. Everybody hopes that Juve doesn't get blown out of the water because they don't want to see a dud of the Champions League final. It's actually, for me, you know, planning it and getting it all together, going out for some beers and some food. It's bigger than the Super Bowl for me. The Super Bowl I can watch at home. Champions League final I usually go out for. And it's, Thursday, okay, where are we going Saturday? Let's get this organized, find out what we're doing. Because if we got to go to somewhere that's popular, I want to have a good seat to watch this. Super Bowl, meh. Who cares? I'll watch it at home. But the Champions League final is something that I look forward to every year. And I think this year is going to be a dud, personally. Like I said, predicting 3-0 and me being generous, 3-0. Juve's midfield will be overrun. Everyone says, oh, Vidal, Marquisio, Pogba. First of all, Pogba won't be 100%. And I doubt he's going to be wanting to do the work that it's going to take for them to win. And that's chasing the ball for 90% of the game. I think he's going to get pissed off and quit. Personally. Marquisio will work his socks off. Vidal will work his socks off to get a better contract for himself for next year. And I don't think Pirlo can even keep up with the midfield of Barcelona. And Barcelona's midfield isn't some track team. But the way they move, the speed at which they move the ball and the position that a defending team has to be in order to keep them at bay, it's going to be way too much running for him at his age. Way too much running for him. And I hope Juve coach comes out with a better formation than what I've seen them play in Serie A. And even against Real Madrid. I think if Gareth Bale was in mid-season form, I think Real Madrid beats Juventus at the Bernabeu in the second leg of the Champions League semifinal there. If Bale was in mid-season form, which he wasn't, Juve loses that game. Debatable, sure, but from the misses I saw from Bale, if he scores those, it's a done deal. It's Barcelona, Real in the final. El Clásico Part 4. Or three. Is it three or four? Anyways. I know Joel wants to see Juve come out and play well. Everybody wants to see them play well. And he thinks that they might have a chance. Tevez and Morata up front. And the solid defensive system that Juve has. But again, front three of Suarez, Neymar, and Messi, I think they'll be able to unlock Juve's defense. But it takes 20 minutes, 25 minutes, they'll still be able to unlock the defense. 3-0 prediction. Go on the forum. Put down your predictions of the game. We'll definitely recap it next week when we come back and we'll talk to you a little bit about the Under-20 World Cup results. Women's World Cup would have started by then, and here in Canada would have started by then. We'll discuss some of the results of that. And we'll definitely do a recap of the Champions League final and what we saw. Tactically speaking, there's not much you can do. I mean, we all saw what Barcelona did to Bayern Munich. The best goalie in the world, Manuel Neuer, made to look ordinary by Messi's off foot. Jerome Boateng, well, we won't even talk about that. And just watching Bayern Munich play Barcelona just looked like another normal team playing Barcelona. And if you rate Bayern Munich higher than Juve, well, what are we really talking about here? But like everyone, like I've said, and like everyone hopes, we have a good competitive game. I just don't think it will be. I just don't think it will be. 60, 65% possession, 70% possession for Barcelona in that game. And it's not because I don't like Serie A or I don't like Juve or anything like that. It's just, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You ask me what's going to happen with the Cavs and the Warriors and the NBA? I don't know. Both teams could win it. You ask me what's going to happen in the Stanley Cup Final, Chicago and Tampa Bay? I don't know. Both teams can win it. You ask me what's going to happen in the Champions League Final between Barcelona and Juventus? Barcelona's going to smash. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And actually, we were talking off here, me and Joe, and he's like, well, what if a red card comes up? An early red card for Barcelona. I said, yeah, possibly. It's possible. But again, when you have the ball for 90% of the game, you're not doing much tackle. So your chances of getting a red slip. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. And we'll definitely be watching this game on Saturday, and we'll recap it next week. So guys, as usual, you can get at us on Twitter. My handle is at @Reginaldinho_5. Joe's is JoeCola4, the number 4. You can visit the website at www.footballweekly.com. It's FUTBOLweekly.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher. There's a number of different podcatchers as well that you can subscribe to get our podcast. Like I said earlier in the intro, go check out the website, revamped. I think it looks great. all done by me, so check it out. Visit the forum. Put down your predictions for Champions League I'll create a topic, Champions League predictions, and we'll see what happens. Also want to let people know, I know I've mentioned it a couple of times during the podcast, that on Saturday as well, 5 o'clock, Women's World Cup starts here in Canada. Pretty bummed that there's no games in Toronto. The Pan Am games are here, so BMO Field is being used for soccer of the Pan Am games, and I believe some of the Gold Cup is being played in BMO as well. So the field was, and TFC is still playing, so the field was kind of booked, actually. So, but it still sucks that the biggest city in Canada can't get a Women's World Cup game at the so-called National Stadium. Keep your eyes out for that. It's hosted by Canada. I think this is the best chance Canada has to actually win a World Cup with this team. From what I've seen, they've come up with new philosophy the coach has brought in, with a lot of mental training as well as physical training, which is a big part of sports these days anyway. So hopefully John Herdman can get these women ready for this upcoming tournament and do us proud. As usual, thank you for listening to the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.